All right. Well, Sandy Rios with you. And yesterday, if you listened to this show or the first podcast of this week, you heard, if you haven't been hearing it at the news, that there was a bombshell report last Friday. And I'm talking to you on July 22nd of 2025. When Tulsi Gabbard, who's the director of national intelligence, laid out Barack Obama, John Brennan, Hillary Clinton, James Comey, and many, many others who worked together to undermine President Donald Trump right after his election in 2016. Hillary Clinton created an entire narrative of the Russian collusion. This was stuff of her imagination. She wrote a report about it. The actual intelligence reports showed that the Russians didn't have the capacity or the interest in helping Donald Trump win the 2016 election. And yet you will remember, as we remember, that we heard nothing but Russian collusion, Russian collusion, Russian collusion, Russian collusion. We heard it all over the media. We heard it everywhere. We heard Barack Obama repeat it. We heard they talked about how President Trump was an illegitimate president. He wasn't duly elected. It was all it was done, you know, subversively, not an honest election. And out of that, they destroyed so many lives, and they destroyed most of our intelligence agencies. How can we ever trust them again? Because complying with this, President Barack Obama seems to be the headmaster here. John Brennan, the director of the CIA, it was up to his neck in this. And so was James Comey, the head of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And then so was James Clapper, who was the head of, I believe, of the CIA at that, the DNI. There's more. Of course, there's more. But these are the people we trust. These are the people looking out for the benefit of the United States to protect us from enemies, foreign enemies mostly, these agencies, the FBI, domestic. And instead, they made a man from New York who was brash but not in their league, out of their, not able to be controlled. They decided that they would destroy him. They leaked the story to the press. The press went crazy. They made up a dossier about President Trump's involvement in Russia. Some ridiculous story about President Trump and prostitutes. And I will recall again, I told you about that at this microphone when the day it came out, I read it and I said to you, this can't be true. This is so silly. It can't be real. And yet that's the basis upon which they folded so much of the destruction of President Trump and all the other people that we are talking about. Well, Bruce is going to join me today because we've lived through this together. And because of course he's a former FBI agent, he lived through this and has had a lot of shame about his agency and a lot of sorrow that his once great FBI was so corrupted by these men. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But first, there are vast numbers of Americans who have not had a chance for life because their mothers have decided to terminate their lives, either in utero or with the abortion pill, whatever they're doing. And so even if for no other reason, that shouldn't happen in America because we've promised everyone the right to life, and that includes our babies. So on this July, the celebrating the birth of our nation, we remember that, and we want to do everything we can to change it. Preborn is certainly doing that, and that's by showing moms the photos of their baby in utero, where they can see them sucking their thumb or moving around. It's just beautiful, and that's what happens, and it changes moms' minds. Most of them actually do change their mind when they see that. One ultrasound is $28, and we just hope and pray that you'll be generous and give your best amount to help stop taking the lives of unborn babies in this country. We need to do it right now. So lots of things, good things are happening. Let's add this to the list. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. Well, you can call us. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. You can call us at 662-821-2040 and leave a message, some response, some a thing of observation, something you didn't like, something you did like. We love hearing from you. So call 662-821-2040 and to leave us a message about what you think about what you're hearing. Or you can write us at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. You can find us on any of the social media platforms. And you can also find us at my website, which is sandyrios.com. I think that it's easier to listen to the podcast doing that. If you're not used to podcasting, sandyrios.com. However, if you're an AFR listener, you probably have already discovered, I hope, that you can go to afr.net, and listen to the program, or you can go to any social media platform, Apple or Spotify or Amazon or any of those, and listen to Sandy Rios 24/7 anytime. Well, you can listen to it, by the way, 24/7. Wasn't that clever? Anyway, so there are lots of ways to listen, and I encourage you to do that. All right, well, stay tuned because we hope to give you some perspective, the best that we can, of our experiences as we've watched this unfold, and also some more information that we didn't get into with Colonel Derek Harvey yesterday. By the way, if you missed that podcast, you'll want to go back and listen because Derek was the chief investigator for Devin Nunes, right on the front lines of all of this, and he filled us in with lots of things we had never heard before on that edition covering this. So, but meanwhile, stay tuned, maybe get out a pencil and paper, and I hope that you benefit and share this program so that people, Bruce and I were watching last night on CNN. They didn't say a word about this story. Not a word about this story. And so you cannot assume that your neighbors and friends know that we have been served up by traitorous leaders, including our President Barack Obama, for the last several years in an effort to, you know, talk about a coup. This was a coup, a treasonous. What did Tulsi call it? She said it's a treasonous conspiracy, and it is. All right, stay tuned for today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
What that is it's the original intelligence, the original reasons that the counterintelligence investigation was started. Now, this is really important to us because a counterintelligence investigation uses the tools of our intelligence services that are not supposed to be used on American citizens. So we've long wanted to know, well, what intelligence did you have that actually led to this investigation? So what we found now, after the investigators have reviewed it, is that, in fact, there was no intelligence.
As a former federal prosecutor, my opinion is that declassifying them would not expose any national security information, would not expose any sources and methods. It would expose certain folks at the Obama Justice Department and FBI and their actions and their actions taken to conceal material facts from the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court.
How involved was John Brennan?
Totally involved. He was totally involved. John Brennan was one of the architects, in my opinion. You look at Brennan, you look at Clapper, you look at them all. But ultimately, the president knew everything. The president knew everything. President Obama and Vice President Biden, they knew everything.
And Comey and Brennan and Clapper, they all were terrible and they lied to Congress. They spied on my campaign, which is treason. They spied both before and after I won.
You might remember that's President Trump. But those are clips, actually, by the way, from 2018. That was Devin Nunes. It was then John Ratcliffe, the head at the time of the Defense National Intelligence Agency, which is the position that Tulsi holds right now. And then, of course, President Trump. You may remember President Trump doing an interview. I believe it was on NBC or Meet the Press. I can't recall. But the reporter is like saying, that's not true. That's just not true. They didn't spy on you. There's no proof of that. And he's trying to reason with her. They tried to make him a fool. But President Trump was right about all this. Now, listen, my point in talking about this today is not to say that President Trump was right, although he was right, and I do want to say that. I want you to understand the repercussions of all of this for our country. Just let it soak in. The president of the United States, the sitting president, tried to destroy the man who was coming behind him. Not just in theory, not just talking about it, but actually convening a group of people to try to undermine and destroy his presidency. And in doing that, he incorporated the head of the CIA, the head of the FBI, and on it goes. And another candidate for president, Mrs. Hillary Clinton, was the inventor of the whole narrative of the Russian collusion. She's the one who made the whole thing up. All right, before I bring Bruce into the conversation, Tulsi was on with Maria Bartiromo last Sunday. This is, again, talking to you on July the 22nd of 2025. But Tulsi really spells out, in part, what they do. Obviously, it's complicated, and I want to make sure that you can repeat this, that you at least have an understanding in as much as you can, and so that you can repeat it to your friends, because believe me, they're not going to be hearing about it like you are, and we have to tell people what's happened here. So this is clip 4, Tulsi Gabbard.
Maria, the implications of this are frankly nothing short of historic. Over 100 documents that we released on Friday really detail and provide evidence of how this treasonous conspiracy was directed by President Obama just weeks before he was due to leave office, after President Trump had already gotten elected. This is not a Democrat or Republican issue. This is an issue that is so serious it should concern every single American, because it has to do with the integrity of our democratic republic. What we saw occur here, as the documents we released detailed, was that we had a sitting president of the United States and his cabinet and leadership team, quite frankly, who were not happy with the fact that President Trump had won the election, that the American people had chosen Donald J. Trump to be the next president commander-in-chief of the United States. And so they decided that they would do everything possible to try to undermine his ability to do what voters tasked President Trump to do. So creating this piece of manufactured intelligence that claims that Russia had helped Donald Trump get elected contradicted every other assessment that had been made previously in the months leading up to the election that said exactly the opposite, that Russia neither had the intent nor the capability to try to quote-unquote hack the United States election for the presidency of the United States. So the effect of what President Obama and his senior national security team did was subvert the will of the American people, undermining our democratic republic, and enacting what would be essentially a years-long coup against President Trump, who was duly elected by the American people.
All right, to be clear, the intelligence assessment said that Russia didn't have the capacity, nor did they have an interest, to interfere with the 2016 election. And that intelligence assessment had been read every day, every day, every day, because there's a briefing on that for the president every day with his cabal. I guess I'll call it cabal since they tried to undermine our country. I think they deserve that title. But so they decided to alter it, to alter it. They made up information. Then they made up the Steele dossier, the lies about President Trump and Russia. They made it up. They added it. They leaked it to the press to destroy him. That's what happened. And it was President Obama who instructed them to alter the content. It was James Comey who also insisted that the FBI alter their content. In fact, some of the intelligence operatives at the White House level did not want to do that. And James Comey drew a line in the sand and said, "Well, we're not going to go with that assessment. We're going to dissent or something like that. We're going to say that we have a different opinion." Because he wanted to add the other information. Talk about a snake who was in the middle of all of this trying to destroy President Trump. And with that, I'll introduce my sweetheart, Bruce, because Bruce is a former FBI agent, and anything that happens at the agency either hurts or helps him. And so, Bruce, what did you think when all this was unfolding as an agent? Do you remember? Can you go back in time?
Well, I remember being very suspicious of the way things were being laid out, because as you've mentioned in the past, there's always a way that Hillary Clinton engages in devious behavior. And the Steele dossier, which was really at the heart of what was going on in this, was like prototypical Hillary, almost an unbelievable premise.
Yeah, you know, Rod, let me, what you're talking about, Bruce, I think is, I used to tell you that she had a pattern of lying. Her lies had kind of a marker. I don't know that I can explain them, but they were always outrageous. Like when she couldn't find, didn't have the documents from the Whitewater investigation, and they found them in a trunk of a car after a tornado. Or like when she fired, this is way before some of you will remember, but she fired the travel agent in the White House. All she had to do was let him off. She just wanted her people to come in. But instead, she destroyed him, and she made up all kinds of stories about him. It was a huge scandal. It was called Travelgate. Everywhere she goes, I would also add to you that she was, as a graduate of Wellesley, or maybe she might have been a Harvard grad at that point with her law degree, she went to work on the Watergate committee. This goes back to Nixon. She was a young attorney, just graduated, and she got fired because she lied about what she was doing. She lied about documents. So she has such a pattern. And as I said, her lies are always ridiculous, even when you think about the women involved with Clinton, the bimbo brigade, the things that they got accused of. That came from Hillary. She is a terrible liar, I have to say, but it works. It works for her every time. And I saw the hallmark of this on these lies.
Well, and the thing that was really hard to believe right out of the box is the premise that Russia would have preferred Donald Trump to be the president instead of Hillary Clinton. That's preposterous on its face. If you remember when Hillary was acting as Secretary of State under Obama, she had meetings with the Russians, and they had the infamous reset button,
yes,
which made her look like a complete fool on the world stage. Yeah, believe me, the Russians were not worried about Hillary Clinton becoming president. They probably relished it because they saw how they pushed her around when she was the Secretary of State versus Donald Trump, who has made it clear his entire life that he is not in bed with that kind of the communist. He's the last thing he is a communist.
Yes, and I want to just add to that. Bill Clinton went to Russia, Moscow when he was a student. When Americans were not going to Moscow, he and Hillary were hardcore somethings. I've never quite labeled them communists. I don't know, but let's just say they were sympathetic, interested. And then with Barack Obama, Bruce, remember when he was president and he said to the Russian foreign minister, we have to have if I get elected, things will be different. He said off mic.
Yeah.
I'm going to help you, in other words.
He said after the election, I'll have more flexibility.
Right, I'll be able to help you a little bit. So we all knew that it was the Democrats, it was Barack Obama, it was the Clintons who were playing footsie with the Russians. They had a certain sympathy with them, but it was not Donald Trump. And also, Bruce, I shared this with Colonel Derek Harvey when we did the first show on this. Do you recall when we were still in D.C., and one afternoon, I told you I had just seen Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson, just an afternoon show. And he just suddenly said, this is probably in the summer leading up to the 2016 election. He basically said, we have reason to believe that, you know, it might be Russia might be involved in trying to subvert our election. So we have to watch that. And then he also said, we're going to probably have to nationalize our elections, which just shocked me to death. What is he talking about? No one was talking about that sort of thing.
Yeah, that was sort of the first clue. And I remember that day. I remember you saying, this is important. And really nobody was picking up on it. But I remember you said, this is important. This looks like they're laying the groundwork, that being the Obama administration, to possibly steal this election.
Yeah, and blame the Russians. It was just so bizarre, but it's just, you know, you have radar after you've been around a long time. So now we come to this this report that Tulsi is handing over to the Justice Department. And Bruce, I'd be interested. I know you might not have had a chance to think about this much, but Tulsi is calling it a treasonous conspiracy. What do you think about that term?
Well, I think where you need to start is the actual definition of what a criminal conspiracy is. And what it is it's an agreement between two or more people to commit an unlawful act, and that's coupled with what we call an overt act in furtherance of that agreement. In other words, a conspiracy is two or more people deciding to do something illegal, and then not only deciding to do it, but actually taking it further and doing something to promote the end game of the conspiracy. And in this case, I mean, certainly the agreement between two or more people, we have it documented in these documents that were released Friday, that there were strategy sessions being held in the White House shortly before Donald Trump became president, I think in December of 2016 and January of 2017, with President Obama in attendance, along with Susan Rice, who was his national security advisor.
He called the meeting.
Yeah. Joe Biden, who was the vice president, Comey, FBI director, Brennan, CIA director, Clapper, DNI director, amongst other people. And basically, Obama ordered these people through their agencies to change the summary. Let me back up. As you said, every day there is a briefing of the president, and part of that briefing is, you know, threats against the nation. Obviously, a threat by the Russians to elect a president unduly is a huge threat, and up until the point of these meetings, the intelligence reports that were being given to President Obama were saying Russia has not interfered with this election. Russia has not had any effect on this election, maybe even if they tried. But then additional documents say, look, it looks like they don't even have interest in trying to affect this election. And even if they did want to affect it, they do not have the capability to do it. But suddenly, after these meetings that start in December of 16 and January of 17, right before Donald Trump takes office, that assessment gets changed, and it gets changed dramatically to the Russians have influenced this election, and that was the predicate to start Operation Crossfire Hurricane, which was the FBI investigation into whether or not Russia had interfered with the 2016 election.
Yeah. Well, in addition to that, then, of course, all the surveilling that took place of Trump's family, of his staff, of innocent people whose lives were destroyed, many of them set up, remember, many of them, Lieutenant General Flynn, just destroyed by this. The one guy who was so honest, who could have actually, he was the former director of the National Intelligence, which is what Tulsi does. He would have been terrific, and they had to get rid of him. Because when Barack Obama was president, Mike Flynn worked for him, and Mike was the only one who came out trying to expose what was happening. And so he wanted him gone. And so he was the only person when Barack Obama was leaving the White House that he warned President Trump to he needed to get rid of General Flynn. That's how that, yeah.
So, yeah, what a coincidence.
Yeah, what a coincidence.
The most qualified person to know where all of this false information was coming from and where it was buried at now would have been General Flynn.
I want to talk about some of the characters here. You and I have spoken about John Brennan through the years, and I've talked about him a lot on the air. He was the director of the CIA director. I'll just tell you two things I know about him, having covered him. I wish I could remember every detail because he's done some horrible things through the years. Very convincing. Very convincing. But John Brennan, as a young man, was a registered communist, a member of the Communist Party. And he laughs about it. You know, I remember when I tried to talk about this before many years ago, he'd say, oh, you know, that's so, yeah, but, you know, you grow up and you go on. And he never denied it. He never denied it. So I just want to tell people that. The second thing was, from people that I know, inside sources during the Iraq War told me that John Brennan had converted to Islam, when he was the chief, the CIA agent chief for Saudi Arabia. So those are just two things I know about John Brennan that are so incriminating. He should never have been the head of the CIA, Bruce.
No, he shouldn't. And you always wonder how people like that maintain their positions in government. But I think when you start to look at what was released in these documents, you see really how corrupt our intelligence agencies have been. If you remember the immortal words of Chuck Schumer, when President Trump became president the first time, he made a comment that he did not trust what was being told to him by the intelligence agencies. And if you remember Chuck Schumer, he said, you better be careful because those intelligence agencies have 6 ways from Sunday to do you in if you don't cooperate with them. Yeah. And I think that's what we're seeing here. And, I don't know the career path of John Brennan and how he managed to stay where he was and how he managed to promote up the ladder. But we can definitely look at where he was at when these reports were made, and he was lying. He was lying to Congress. He was lying to Donald Trump. He was involved in this cabal that we were talking about that President Obama was assembling to try to undermine Donald Trump. You know, we've already talked about this before, that James Comey had made comments that Donald Trump was morally unfit to run the FBI. But yet, when Trump was elected the first time and Comey was the onboard FBI director, you did not see him resign, even though he said Trump was unfit morally. No, Comey stayed behind. We've talked about this before. And why did he stay behind to be the FBI director? Because he was going to be the point man on this conspiracy to undermine the Trump presidency. The first thing he did before Trump even took office, he had a private meeting with Donald Trump, and he said, oh, you know, we have this information that you were in Moscow and you were with prostitutes and the people were urinating in a bed that you were in. I mean, absolutely preposterous. And you wonder why Trump made that statement, I don't believe what I'm being told by the intelligence agencies. Obviously, Trump knew this was completely made up and that they were trying, they being the intelligence agencies, they were trying to put leverage on Donald Trump immediately upon him becoming president so that they could control him.
Do you remember what a big story that was, Bruce? Because they issued some document, the heads of the intelligence agencies, and they made a huge story out of the fact that Donald Trump would not believe our intelligence agencies, but he had more faith in, I don't know if it was Russia or... I believe that's what
Russia,
he said.
Yes.
Yeah, and so that proved, of course, he was a Russian agent. I mean, it really is so twisted. I want to talk about the FBI in just a second, Bruce, but I want to finish up on Brennan here. Lee Smith did a great article called The Brennan Forgery that was published just a couple of days ago. And so I want to give people an idea of this. It has a lot more information in it. CIA Director John Ratcliffe referred former CIA Director John Brennan to the FBI for a criminal investigation that happened just last week. Now, some reports claim that the referral relates to Brennan potentially having perjured himself before Congress. But now we think it has to do with this annex report on the report filed by John Durham. He was a special investigator. There was what's called the Clinton Plan Intelligence, and it was an annex to that report. John Solomon talks about that. He said it deals with the Clinton Plan Intelligence, and says Solomon, lawmakers in Durham have suggested it would provide damning evidence to any prosecutor. And so the Clinton Plan Intelligence refers to the intelligence the CIA received in late July 2016, listen to this, from a Dutch spy agency. The Dutch had penetrated a Russian intelligence agency that appears to have hacked the emails of Clinton allies and Democratic officials. And it was from these communications that the Russians learned the Clinton campaign had devised a plan to smear Trump as a Russian agent to deflect attention from her use of a private email server. So that's what that annex says, Clinton Plan Intelligence, and that was part of the John Durham report. But Bruce, they wouldn't ever let it be revealed.
Yeah, and if you think about the way the chronology of this all went, that makes perfect sense. Hillary Clinton is operating this illegal email server. It's not up to the protection standards that a government...
It's in her closet in her bathroom.
It's in her private residence. And she's using open source email that can be hacked. And what happens is she's talking in her email about this plan that she's going to make it look like Donald Trump has colluded with the Russians. And as they get close to the election, she's going to release this. And then, of course, there's no way Trump can win the election because he's in bed with the Russians. But what happens is they figure out, that being the Clintons, that someone has hacked this email. And, of course, what's convenient for her at that point, she has to say, it's the Russians that hacked my email, and they have given them to Donald Trump. Well, the fact is, her email they had been hacked. We never figured out who, because a proper investigation was prevented by the Clintons.
By the FBI.
The FBI never went in and did the investigation. They had CrowdStrike, an outside vendor, do the analysis. And that was never verified that it was the Russians or who hacked the email. And so now the Dutch are able to hack into the Russian sources that have gotten a hold of the email of Hillary Clinton, and they tip off our government that, hey, Hillary Clinton has this plan that she's hatching to make it look like Donald Trump has colluded with the Russians to steal the election. I know it's a little hard to follow, but it makes perfect sense that would be how it would lay out.
You know, it is very ironic, Bruce, that Hillary had this private server in her bathroom closet, which was illegal. She was the director. She was the Secretary of State, for heaven's sake. And people kept saying she can't do that. This is against regulation. People get fired for this because of the very reason that they can get hacked from foreign servers. So now it looks like it was hacked, and Hillary now is, she's being exposed to who she really is. And back to Brennan. According to Brennan, had handwritten notes from an August 3rd, 2016 meeting at the White House. And at that meeting, he briefed Barack Obama and other U.S. officials, including then Attorney General Loretta Lynch and then FBI Director James Comey, about the Clinton plan intelligence. That's August of 2016, before the election. They all knew that Hillary had done this. And in the backdrop of James Comey dropping the charges against her, Bruce, for the email server, remember that?
It fell right in line because they knew that if someone really did look at what happened with Hillary Clinton in an unbiased way, she would have been in deep trouble for divulging classified information. And so how convenient that James Comey steps out and he doesn't follow protocol. The Department of Justice, the Attorney General, should have made the decision as to whether or not Hillary Clinton would have been prosecuted for divulging classified information. But instead, if you remember, in like a 4th of July afternoon press conference, Comey says, you know what, I've looked at this information and no reasonable prosecutor would ever indict her for this. Yeah. And if you remember, if you watched the news shows shortly thereafter, there were plenty of former federal prosecutors on the air saying, well, I certainly would have prosecuted her for that. So again,
just covering
it's all part. You know, we're talking again using the term conspiracy because that's what's going to be the linchpin if anyone has gone after on this, that this was a conspiracy, because many of these acts have happened outside of what would be the statute of limitations now. However, when you have a conspiracy, anytime there's an act which furthers that conspiracy, it starts the statute of limitations over again. And, you know, one of the problems that has been present in all of this is that anytime one of these investigations started, it would start in a Washington, D.C., U.S. Attorney's Office, which uses a Washington, D.C. grand jury. Well, you can imagine that is going to go nowhere because you've got 95% of the people in that district that are liberals or Democrats. However, if you think now what has been part of this conspiracy, part of this conspiracy was the Mar-a-Lago raid of Donald Trump's home in Florida. So that is an act in furtherance of this conspiracy. What they were looking for, we believe, is that the FBI knew that Donald Trump had or possibly had information that would divulge.
Well, it was this memo. It was this the copy of this memo that they're trying to hide about Clinton's nefarious plan. That's what they were looking for.
Right. And yeah. And so if you think of that, now that's only happened a couple of years ago, and that was within the state of Florida. So if this investigation does get off the ground, it's possible this investigation could be led out of the state of Florida with a Florida grand jury and not a D.C. grand jury.
Boy, that would be something. Bruce, back to the FBI, because this report by Lee Smith is so interesting. I think you'd find this interesting. So in Durham's report, he writes, none of the FBI personnel who agreed to be interviewed could specifically recall receiving this referral memo, nor did anyone recall the FBI doing anything in response to the referral memo. And that's about the whole Clinton memo thing. For instance, former FBI General Counsel James Baker told Durham that he had neither seen nor heard of the Clinton plan intelligence. And then he goes on, listen to this. Same with Supervisory Special Agent Number 1, reportedly an FBI agent named Joe Pientka, who, according to the report, Durham showed Pientka the information, that's Clinton's plan intelligence, and he became, quote, visibly upset and emotional, left the interview room with his counsel, and subsequently returned to state emphatically that he had never been apprised of the Clinton plan intelligence and had never seen the aforementioned referral memo. Bruce, and then it says, I'll just read this one more thing about Pientka. Pienka's rage after Durham showed him the document, that began to get Brennan worried. That's what it says.
Yeah.
So the wheels were coming off the bus here.
Well, I think that there was probably, and it's been shown, I think, that John Brennan over at the CIA was cooperating very closely with James Comey, who was heading the FBI at that time. And really, it was Brennan and Comey that were pressing that the Steele dossier was real and that it needed to be included in any of these assessments when we are deciding whether or not there was collusion in the 2016 election. And everyone else seems at the FBI to have been of the opinion that the Steele dossier was made up, that it wasn't real. But yet James Comey just kept pushing it.
Like a bulldog.
Yeah. And so, and you know, we've seen it demonstrated very clearly over the years how James Comey feels about Donald Trump. And, you know, I don't know his intentions, but it sure seems like it was a personal vendetta in some ways by Comey to keep pushing this through.
Yeah, I think so, too. And we can see how petty he is. Just after the years have unfolded, like that stupid rocks on the beach thing. By the way, you should tell them we found another meme on the rocks on the beach. Like, what was it? What was it?
So I saw this meme the other day.
86-47. Yeah, so kill
was
the president.
The original one. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I saw one the other day. It says, gee, here's the one that James Comey found when he was walking down the beach the other day. And it was J-A-I-L. Jail.
In rocks. Jail, yeah. I love that. Okay, so one other thing, Bruce, an important thing. Chuck Grassley, senator from Iowa, has been trying to get the government to release that classified annex of the Hillary Clinton email probe and all the stuff that we've just been talking about, but no one would ever do that. And actually, he sent the evidence in a letter to Attorney General William Barr, who refused. They just didn't do anything with it. They just let it sit. So they let President Trump dangle with these accusations because they wanted to destroy him.
Well, you know, I think that just shows you again that Donald Trump came to Washington, D.C. and was a total outsider. And even the people, quote unquote, on our side, I don't think many of them knew how to deal with Donald Trump, because he was the bleach that came to clean up Washington.
That's good. I like that.
You know, a lot of these people that allegedly, you know, William Barr, people like that, we'd like to think that they are going to do the right thing. But I'll tell you what, people that survive and thrive in Washington, D.C. often are corrupted in one way or another. And I'm not even saying they mean to be, but you stay there long enough, you get entangled in things, and all of a sudden you're being asked to turn against people that you have a relationship with, and they don't want to do that. Whereas Donald Trump, he doesn't care about those relationships. He hasn't been there. He hasn't made them. And if you work for him, he expects you to be loyal to what is right. And if you have to hurt somebody that you're close to, but it's the right thing to do, then that's what you have to do.
Yeah. So we're really witnessing a full-scale cleaning of house. Here's the thing. We don't know how effective. How do we know? How would we know? But we know that this information is getting out. And as long as you and I and everyone listening to us understands this and repeats it, this is going to get into the blood, deeply into the bones and the understanding of the American people. And one other thing, Bruce, it was just as I was mulling all of this over yesterday, I thought about how perhaps now people can understand how it happened that we were lied to about COVID, that the press cooperated in this big ploy, not only to destroy our economy, but to destroy our people and to control them in ways we couldn't even imagine. And because we trusted all those voices, we were used by intelligence services, media, and bad actors in government. And then, of course, the same thing happened on the 2020 election. The big lie, they call it. The big lie. Couldn't possibly be that the election was stolen or the machines didn't work or mail-in ballots were used. It's a big lie. So we've been duped several times now in the last few years.
And, you know, it's when Donald Trump brought that term fake news to our living rooms, you know, you just see it time after time. If there is a conspiracy indictment that comes forward on this, I'll tell you, one of the people or one of the entities, it cannot be, but that should be indicted, is the mainstream media. Because they have carried so much water for all of these things. They have been lockstep to shut down anyone like you, Sandy, that wants to question what went on in these things. And last night, as we were watching this unfold on television, I said, let's turn on CNN and see what they're saying about it. Absolutely not a word about any of these documents that have been released. Their third highest story was the death of Jamal. I'm sorry, I'm forgetting his name.
On the Cosby Show.
The gentleman who played Theo on the Cosby Show. And while that's a story, I don't believe on a national news outlet that should have usurped the revelation of these documents by Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah, me either. So that's what we're faced with. We have to take a short break, but there's just one more thing I want to share with you on the other side of the break, and we'll be right back to do that. You're listening to Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
When you become a monthly sponsor of Preborn, you will actually get a picture of the babies you help to save. That's pretty good plum, isn't it? But also, you can sponsor what's called a day of life. And that's sponsoring an entire day of women, you know, having ultrasounds at these clinics. And it's more money. It's a bigger investment. For a gift of $5,000, you can sponsor an entire day. And so that's why we call it a day of life. If you'd like to do that, if you can afford to do that, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Is of such historic consequence that it cannot be limited to one or two or three different people. You just outlined the implications and the effects of what actually occurred. And I think you're really putting into a clear picture what we are referring to when we refer to the deep state. It is very far reaching. These are people who are intent on undermining the will of the American people and trying to ultimately put themselves above our democracy. And this is why it's so important that we continue down this path. We continue to stay very focused. I question the same things that you're asking here. I don't know how it is. Yes, I put my team on this. We've been working on this over the last few months. I've been in this role as Director of National Intelligence for just about 6 months. I don't know what excuse there is for those who supposedly investigated this previously, whether it was Durham or others, that they were not able to put together the dots and ultimately show the truth to the American people. President Trump has delivered a maximum transparency mandate, and this is exactly what we're doing. The American people need to see the truth, and we're going to continue to do that every single day that I'm here.
You know, I think that is one of the most important things that we gain from this is the obfuscation that has been done by so many people prior to Tulsi Gabbard. You had John Durham, a special counsel, look at these documents. You had Robert Mueller, the former director of the FBI, look at him as a special counsel. And you had Michael Horowitz, who was the Department of Justice Inspector General. All of them looked at these documents. You know they saw them, and they just decided to ignore them.
And that applies to the Senate, too, Bruce. The Senate Intelligence Committee ignored this, too, because Grassley was trying to shake the stick, but he couldn't release it because he's a man of integrity unless the committee decided. So
it's really frightening.
It is frightening, and we're going to stop it. We're going to stop it. Well, honey, thank you for joining me today on this kind of adventure, kind of a wild adventure, isn't it?
It certainly is. It just every day is a new adventure.
And I want to thank all of you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.